And that led Israeli member of the Knesset, one Ayelet Shaked, to say in a scathing open letter to our very own United States Secretary of State John Kerry the following. Quote, in light of the current situation that you have brought about, I feel that I cannot be bound by the restraints of politically correct wording, and I therefore will allow myself to convey my following message to you in the most straightforward fashion. Boy, that's a rarity today, isn't it? By forcing Israel to capitulate to terrorism, by releasing murdering terrorists, didn't President Obama just do that? With so much blood on their hands that the U.S. would never dream of releasing if it was their own citizens murdered. Amen. You are not only being extremely hypocritical, but are actually dabbling in experimentation and gambling by putting me and my children's lives at risk. Mr. Secretary, the price of releasing over 100 convicted murderers in 2013, this happened, will be borne by my family and my people, not by you. Not by you. How will you carry the burden of the terrible price toward which you are leading us? End quote. Wow. What a straightforward, not politically correct statement. Yeah, well, how indeed, Mr. Kerry? How would your conscience react? By the way, the Knesset and Mr. Shaked are still waiting for Mr. Kerry's answer. Don't hold your breath. And the peace talks go on, and the war goes on at the same time. And all the while, this great little nation continues to advance the world by developing drip irrigation for farming, which is now being adopted and used in many other countries around the globe. These blood-sucking Israelis did that for the world. As the missiles rain down from Gaza and Hamas, Israel continues to lead the world in water recycling and proudly tells the world that over 90% of Israelis' water heaters are solar-powered. God bless the Israelis. And the Arab war machines rumble even as the hatred intensifies. Who's right? Recently, as the world knows, yet another war began. Gaza and Israel. Hamas rained down hundreds of missiles on the nation of Israel. Then came into play one of the most amazing military inventions ever. Actually, two of them. The great and technologically advanced nation of Israel had developed what it called the Iron Dome. The Iron Dome. That was a system, a technological net over the land of Israel, which identified and intercepted incoming missiles and destroyed them before they could do damage. Incredible. Dozens of such missiles were in fact destroyed, and no matter how many fired by Hamas, the initial barrage produced not one single casualty or loss of human life in the entire nation of Israel. Absolutely amazing, don't you think? And then there was the companion defense system known as David's Sling. David's Sling provided the very same kind of defense, but in a different way. So effectively that the nation of India, a technological partner with Israel, intends to utilize David's Sling as a missile defense mechanism in the land of India itself. Recall that India has the very same problem with its borders and its neighbor Pakistan. Interesting to see the military cooperation of the Jewish nation of Israel and the Hindu nation of India, is it not? Jewish and Hindu. The world should know that the military technology and capability of the little land of Israel is absolutely incredible. A match for any country, including the soon-to-be warlike nation of Russia. Russia, in my opinion, is going to be a big player in Middle East warfare. The Arabs through Iran may soon have nuclear weaponry capability, but even so, many believe that nation and its allies will never be the equal of Israel. Their military capability is incredible. I've seen it with my own eyes. But Israel and the Jews have even more. They have on their side the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Wow, what a weapon. Hear his words from the prophet Zechariah chapter 12. These divine promises are more than ever relevant as yet another war begins. Quote, I am going to make Jerusalem a cup that sends all of the surrounding peoples reeling. Judah, that is Israel, will be besieged as well as Jerusalem. On that day, when all of the nations of the earth are gathered against her, all of them, does that mean America? I will make Jerusalem, says Jehovah, an immovable rock for all of the nations, an immovable rock. All who try to move it will injure themselves. I, Jehovah, I, Yahweh, I will keep a watchful eye over Judah. The people of Jerusalem are strong because Yahweh Almighty is their God. On that day, I will set out to destroy all of the nations, all of them, that attacked Jerusalem. Wow, what a promise. If you believe that, as I do, that literally says that any nation which attacks Jerusalem, and consequently Israel and the Jews, will not only be defeated, but destroyed. Destroyed. I would regard that as a major warning of the consequences to follow, following an attack, wouldn't you? And those surrounding nations who would surely wish to attack and destroy Israel include Iran, Iraq, Syria, more than likely Jordan, surely Lebanon and Gaza, and Egypt, and even Russia. I wonder which is the most potent defense, nuclear bombs and warfare, or the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Frankly, I'd take the latter. But combined, all against can surely expect nothing but total destruction. Thus saith the Lord. But the Jewish people stand tall in every war from the very beginning, 1948. And never forget the words in 1976 of then Prime Minister Menachem Begin. Hear those words again. Another Holocaust will never happen again in the history of the Jewish people. Never again, never again. Amen. Tell anybody you will meet. We shall defend our people with all of the means at our disposal. Menachem Begin. By the way, Mr. Begin also said the following. We shall not allow any enemy to develop weapons of mass destruction to be turned against us. How about those words? And those words were echoed in 1983. And now some 31 years later, the enemy Iran, perhaps the supreme enemy, is about to develop these very weapons of mass destruction, which will of course be turned against Israel and the Jews. May Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and the Knesset, which determines the fate of this great nation, never forget the Begin words, for Israel must not allow any enemy, including and especially Iran, to develop weapons of mass destruction, which will, in fact, someday be used against the Holy Land. Never again. Never again. And the peace talks go on, and so does the war. And now hear the words of the Hamas Charter, violent and racist. The Hamas Charter, Israel will exist and will continue to exist until Islam will obliterate it. Obliterate it, just as it obliterated others before it. Hamas, Islam. Wow. Small wonder that Israel continues to require every citizen to serve in the military for a number of years and to be on call for the military up to at least the age of 55. In fact, in the event of all-out war, all citizens will be involved in the military struggle, no matter the age. I find it interesting that Arab Christian residents of Nazareth, Arabs serve in the Israeli army, and proudly so, and even encourage their children to do the same. For a number of years, a group of Nazareth Christians, who are officers in the Israeli army, have been actively recruiting young local Arabs to follow in their footsteps and serve the Jewish state in the military. They indeed are right-thinking Arabs and realize the danger of fanatic Islamic Arabs who wish to destroy Israel and those Arabs with it. These Arabs, who are full Israeli citizens, know that they will be destroyed, exterminated, in the event of Arab-designed nuclear warfare or the destruction of Israel itself. They're going down with them. And they state to the world that they are Israelis first and Arabs second. But the Arab hatred and determination to exterminate the Jews and reclaim Israel as the old Palestine, and for the Arabs, it goes on and on. Such an approach is consistent with Islamic ideology that decrees that once land has been controlled by or occupied by a Muslim entity, that land is forever Muslim land. Forever. if land has been controlled or occupied in any way at any time, that land is forever Muslim land. Wow. It can never again be under the control of the infidels like the Jews or non-believers in Islam. It is so apparent, Mr. John Kerry, that this ideology is the basis for Palestinian refusal to accept and acknowledge the existence of the State of Israel. In short, Mr. Kerry, Mr. Secretary, no peace now or ever. No matter how much land is conceded or given away or any other concessions made by Israel, there will be no peace. Never. And that led the good organization, the Jerusalem Connection, to state the following. When we fail to acknowledge this basis for continued turmoil, we make the mistake of believing that a two-state solution is feasible, thereby incurring still more anguish and turmoil. In short, a two-state solution is not feasible and will never happen. By the way, the nation of Israel was renamed Palestine by the Romans when the country was destroyed, and the Jews with it in 73 AD. They named it Palestine when, of course, the real and historical names which matter are Israel, Judea and Samaria, and of course, Zion and Jerusalem. Palestine and consequently the Palestinians come about thanks to the Romans, not the Arabs. And the peace talks go on and on to no avail. And further, the Jerusalem Connection states the following. We have these periodic pursuits of inevitable failure of a peace plan between Israel and the Palestinians. What is it that we don't understand about the perennial Palestinian no to our utopian dreams of peace? No. At the same time, why is it that Israel's leaders simply refuse to emphasize the two most powerful and unanswerable arguments for their case? One, God's covenant promises for a homeland for the Jews, an eternal and divine mandate. Why don't the Jews stand behind that? And two, a chain of international law in their favor. Indeed, why not? Why, in fact, does the current Israeli administration not stand on these premises? Why? Well, perhaps away from the bargaining table they do. But Israelis continue to placate the world, even attempting to some extent in good faith to negotiate, and even agreeing to a two-state solution, at least in theory, when the Arabs, Palestinians never, ever will. Interesting, the contradiction between the so-called peace negotiations and the clear and expressed words in the Torah. The Torah, the book of Deuteronomy in the Torah, which states the following, make no treaty with them. Interesting, isn't it? Make no treaty with them. In other words, to make peace with or a treaty for Palestinians would be nothing but a piece of paper. For Deuteronomy goes on to say as follows, it is a land, that is Israel, the promised land, Yahweh, your God, cares for. So make no treaty with them. And even as the great God of Abraham so cares, so should the Jews and the Israelis who are called by God to live in this their promised land. Get Judea and Samaria back. It belongs to the Jews. And the peace talks go on, and the war goes on. And the Hamas missiles rain down, all the while Israel pioneers what is called capsule endoscopy, which is now the gold standard in the world for small bowel visualization. Isn't that incredible? The Israelis, you know, those descendants of apes and pigs. This pill cam is an ingestible video camera. And it allows pain-free, non-invasive visualization of the small intestine and the esophagus to detect disease. Unbelievable, these Israelis. They are technologically incredible. And the war goes on, and the hatred goes on, and the fight continues over that tiny sliver of land, not as large as the state of New Jersey.